Good morning. How are you? Kristen?
Good. Yeah, hi. Welcome.
Let me get Tracy and John on the line with us. They are on the call with us.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, John, Tracy, how are you?
Doing great.
All right.
Doing well.
Well, let's start in our traditional way. What's on your mind?
Well, Tracy and I have been talking about that. We've been sitting here for about 30 minutes talking about that. We were discussing our Centers of Influence meetings that we had the latter part of last week. Mine, if you recall, was, as it worked out, I was having an estate planning attorney and a CPA, and we were having lunch together, the three of us, to discuss one mutual client. But I hadn't relayed this to Tracy. We walked in the restaurant, and there was a family of a client there. This one particular client's not with us anymore, meaning he passed away last year. But the parents and one of the brothers was there, and I had referred them to the CPA that I was having lunch with.
Oh, that's so right.
I took them over, you know, introduced everybody and so forth. And we were having lunch to discuss one particular client, but I started by going over a joint client of the three of us that we had a meeting with the day before and talked about just some of the things that came up in the meeting. And then there was one question that the client wanted me to ask the estate planning attorney, which I did. And then I brought up another situation with the estate planning attorney where another CPA, not the one that was sitting there, was trying to get a hold of a mutual client and couldn't get a hold of her and was contacting us. I contacted him about it, so anyway, we got that through, and then I had another client that was mutual of the three of us, so I guess my point is I was just going through all the clients that we had in common, and some of which became pretty obvious that I had directed them to one or both of them. So it never got to the point, Rob, where I, you know, you could really just say, you know, is there something about me that we're not getting business from you on a regular basis? But they did ask how I knew this about this client, that client. And I said, we have a service model together. I described it briefly, where we're in constant contact with our clients. And a lot of times with both of those guys, we feed them information about the clients. The clients will come to us, and I'll just say, I'm going to see Bill, or I'm going to see the other guy's name, John, also. Would you like me to discuss this with them? And they said, yes, would you please? So I'm anxious to hear your comments on that, how I handled it, and then maybe how I could have handled it a little bit differently.
Well, I think you handled it fine because you were in a, it was a business situation rather than a business development situation. Because you had both of them there, it was efficient, it was effective, but it wasn't great for, putting them, you know, in a business development, mindset, I think. Because you couldn't take them both on. And they're different, and you got to customize that presentation for them. So I think you did fine. I think it's good. I think you clearly established yourself as the leader and the one that knows the client best, which is always helpful.
I sent a text to the estate planning attorney last night and just wanted to make sure that he heard me when I asked about the one question the client had. And he came back to me and said he did, and I just said, well, I wanted to make sure you did because it was going to go in our follow-up correspondence to the client.
Great. It's great.
I thought he did a good job by setting the groundwork with both of them as kind of like reminding them, hey, these are the relationships that we have together, and inadvertently reminding them which ones we sent their way, you know, we introduced them to, and then briefly kind of this is how we service our clients, where I think he can build on that going forward.
At one point, I looked at the estate planning attorney and said, do you remember how we met? And he didn't, and this goes back probably 25 years ago, and he had worked on an estate of a client of ours, and I've talked about that. And then I had a couple other stories about how he and I would go out and visit this other client that I sent him, you know, at night, we'd go out to their house and so forth. So I asked, you know, I don't know if it's sinking in or not, but it's definitely on the group. This is going to the CPA. I was on the phone with a client yesterday, and she was widowed about 8 months ago, and she decided that she wants to come in and just go over the basics of her account and have me describe things and, you know, why her husband did this and that. So I said, do you want one of your daughters to come? Yes. So I was texting with the daughter last night, and they're coming in tomorrow. But she just said, we're going to be out that way anyway because we're meeting with the CPA.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, how about if we have your meeting with the CPA after our meeting in our office in our conference room? And she said, oh, that would be great. So I emailed the CPA, so he's coming over here tomorrow. Once again, a reminder of where this business came from. And the one thing that I was going to ask him to do, when this client passed away last year, a very good relationship, but there was a TA, a CREF account, and that needed to be rolled over.
Yep.
And Tracy and I were sitting in on a lot of the meetings, going over the estate and so forth. And then I had left the meeting to go to catch a plane, and I remember Tracy called me when I was walking down the, you know, through the airport, and said that, oh, Carol said she's decided to leave the money at TAA CREF.
Oh, God.
Because she thought that's what her late husband would have done. It's a little over $4 million.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I was going to ask the CPA to see if he wouldn't kind of put the bug in the ear that it would be a lot more convenient if it was here and we could have everything in one place. What do you think about that?
Well, remember, the key to moving money is this concept of risk management. And when things are scattered all over the street, good term, there is no one person managing the risk. And when it's $4 million, there's risk. So if you're managing, you know, part of it, and they're managing part of it, maybe somebody else is managing part of it, nobody is the risk manager. It's like you have no treasurer or controller of your company. you're outsourcing it all, and then if the responsibility, frankly, then falls on her to be the risk manager, the fiduciary for their family. And that's great, as long as she's a professional and knows what she's doing when it comes to risk management. But my guess is that she's not, and she's doing nothing because that's easier than doing something. So
we had an opening at the end of last year. Tracy, you want to describe what happened?
There was some service that didn't go well with TIA CREF, not where they lost the paperwork for establishing the account and completing the rollover. They obviously had to redo all that paperwork and were not very happy. So service-wise...
We're all over it. They got a phone call. I think the one daughter...
It was Christmas Eve.
It was Christmas Eve. They called them on Christmas Eve to let them know that they'd lost the paperwork.
So I think you got a great case, and I'd make the case directly with your widow.
Okay.
I mean, if he can put in a good word for you, that's great, but your sale is directly to her.
Right.
And
but
one of the things, you know, is 1242 makes it clear that you're all over this, and that you're not taking any more risk by moving it. That's what they're worth. That's what they're always worried about. If I move it here, I'll lose it all. You know?
The other thing, what was the percentage that they were guaranteed over there?
Four.
I mean,
we're there.
Rates are getting there, so.
Yeah. And the CPA contacted us last week about their required minimum distribution and wanted to know if I was, you know, if what was being withheld. And I texted the daughter, who was in the Bahamas, and she told me. So I just wanted your affirmation.
Sure,
I should go after that. Yeah,
I just think you got the Bahamas, you know, you got Christmas Eve, you got, there's a lot of things that are just inconvenient and not smart. And I think you just have to reinforce the fact that this money is being managed very securely here, and that she doesn't need to worry about losing the money. In fact, there's more risk, frankly, by having it there because no one is watching it.
Yeah, okay. Well, Tracy, how about if we roll out our service model tomorrow?
Oh, definitely. Yes, we
okay.
Have our... mini-me folder for them.
So we'll do that. I'll let you know how that goes, Rob. But that was, you know, I've been waiting for that. I had two opportunities watching the market crater in December, and I wanted to call and say, you know, are they calling you to make some?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just sell the service model and the convenience. But I will ask the CPA just to say it would be a lot more convenient if everything was in one place. I'll ask him to do that.
And you do manage the risk. I mean, she could have Boeing in every account, right? She could have Apple. Not that Apple's going down, but at one time, you remember, Apple went way down. Everybody owned it.
Went down 40% in December.
Yeah. So you're really talking about, it went from 220 down to what? Whatever. So the 40%. Question is, do we really want an over-concentration in any one security? And who's watching that for you? Do they know what you own? No. I think you got this one. I mean, I think you can handle that. That one sounds like, you know, that one you can move pretty reasonably. The others are, here's the way I would approach and this one's saying, I mean, you want to give her a folder, you want to have all the information, enthusiastically endorsed list in the folder with phone numbers for her convenience and so forth, and fill that out over time, just doing everything you can to do what you do for your best clients, for her. Now, for your CPA and your attorney, same thing, guys. You need a folder for each one of them. You need a list of introductions given and introductions received and the status of each one in your folder. And you go over that carefully with them. And on there is listed all the introductions that you gave to them and all the ones that they gave to you and the status of them. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
You want to have the enthusiastically endorsed list in there for them. You want to have, because you were triggering a bunch of ideas when we you're talking about 1242 with, let me think, I'm thinking.
Give me your best Marty Cohen.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, with your CPA and your attorney, you're going to go for the monthly meeting, where you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model, okay? So don't leave that out. That's really critical with every center of influence.
Yeah.
You teach them this is how I get my introductions. I ask every client these questions. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, your attorney, your estate planning attorney, your cardiologist, your whatever, right? And I get a lot of introductions and opportunities to introduce people. You want to be doing the same thing. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when it's a negative, I'm not very happy with them, that's your opportunity. But you just, and here's the part that's really important. You don't, Mr. CPA, you don't need to just restrict that question to your clients. It can be friends, neighbors, associates. Oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? Well, not really. He's not that great. I mean, he's meeting with a bunch of associates, CPAs. He asked that question. Oh, I've got this fabulous team that I really enthusiastically endorse. Let me make an introduction. It's a training issue. I suggest that it's 90% a training issue.
Okay.
The other part is the fact that there isn't any regularly scheduled appointment where they're on the hook. Look, it's all about accountability, right? Why do people perform at their peak? Because they set up accountability. It's because they're ambitious and they set up accountability. In this case, they're not necessarily ambitious. So you have to substitute something else for the lack of ambition. That is accountability. They know they're going to meet for breakfast or lunch or dinner or whatever you guys decide to do, coffee, once a month, and out comes the folder. Right?
Okay.
And you've got an introduction for them. And you want to put the pressure on them? You have those monthly meetings, and every single month you have an introduction for them.
Okay.
And you can do that.
Yep.
Right? And so you go over the list. Here's the introductions I've given you. Tell me the status. Bring me up to date. It's 10 to 1. And it's like, are you kidding? Do you need help on the enthusiastically endorsed model? You want to go over it again? And then, you find the right person, then it's let's do some joint marketing. Let's invite our clients to what's happening with the tax law, and let's do a little seminar for our clients. Client appreciation evening or something where we educate them on what do they have to think about tax-wise or what's happening with the economy or just a nice concert or, the Nutcracker at holiday time. Let's jointly sponsor that and bring our clients. Lots of fun things. You got great theater there in Louisville. Nice thing to do. Sponsor the theater, sponsor them, bring your clients. Bring them in the green room, have a little bit of libation and enjoy them and go to the show.
Okay. I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a process. Just think of it as a process rather than a series of events. It's just a process of educating and training clients and CPAs and attorneys and other centers of influence into our process. Don't be afraid to give them the book, Supernova Multiplier, Supernova Advisor. Just say, hey, we hired this consultant. This is how we're doing business. We're pretty proud of what we're doing. It looks, it's feeling really good. Our business is really expanding and exploding. People want to be with a winner.
Okay.
I had my COI this past week, too. My approach was the approach that you kind of recommended, where he met here in our office. Just, it was quick coffee. It was on his way into work. And, you know, I said, you know, we had one client relationship that we are finishing up an estate with. It's an estate planner. I said that process has gone very well. You know, we're always looking for estate planners to partner with. That's something you'd be interested in. And, of course, he said definitely. And then I said, well, what I would like to do, you know, before, you know, is to meet with you and your team in your office is next. And I said, didn't you just recently have a paralegal change, which he did? You know, I thought this is a good time for us for me to meet your team, see your office. And so Kristen's trying to get, that just happened on Friday morning, so we're trying to get that on the calendar.
Really smart. Really smart. Was he surprised?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. They're not used to somebody saying, hey, look, we want to come over and kick the tires and see what kind of an operation you have.
Right. Right.
And they're not organized like we are. You know, they can't introduce a 5-star model or, you know, 1242 or anything. You know, they're just too business. You'll get a kick out of watching them scramble.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to know is, you know, what's your minimum? What's your average size client?
Mm-hmm.
What's your billable, you know, what's your typical client? How much do you, you know, ask them. What do you charge for, you know, what's your average billable hours for your typical client? What's their average estate size? How many clients do you have? How many do you try and handle? What do you really specialize in? What is there any uniqueness to your practice versus any other estate planning attorney? What makes you better, different, etc.?
I was going to mention one of the things I think that also kind of surprised him is when I was asking to meet his team, I said, we were a little caught off guard in the process. You have a new paralegal? And he kind of took a step, but he goes, well, we do. And he goes, yeah, you know, I probably should have called you and given you a heads up and introduced you. So, if anything, it was, you know, maybe provided him with a way to handle situations going forward. We were really surprised when we got a return email from the paralegal that she's no longer working there.
Yeah, that's disruptive, right, to the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, well, hopefully we'll get that on the calendar the next week or two. I know that that's something we're waiting for his response.
Well, and the same thing, are you interested in growing your practice, and would you be interested in meeting regularly in order to exchange marketing ideas and exchange client introductions?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, wait a minute, what are we doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not just to meet and talk and have coffee. We're actually there to exchange client introductions. Well, how do you do that? Well, you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model.
Mm-hmm.
That will get you, you know, out of 100 people, it'll get you 10 introductions. So that's the key. You keep the volume up. They don't, they don't know how to market. They don't market. And they, you know, they go to seminars and people tell them how to do things, but they come home and do what they do, which is to go in and work and hope somebody calls them.
I think John has one more on the calendar that's scheduled for next week.
Yeah, I've got one on the 18th.
Good. Well, see if you can make another, you know, see if you can make another appointment so you have a few of these going regularly where you're fishing, you know, on a regular basis for these top enthusiastically endorsed professionals.
Right. You can do that.
Fishing out, you know.
You can do that. It's a small town, as you know.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing that'd be fun about asking that question of all your clients. By the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA?
Yeah.
You know, first of all, knowing who they are and then their attitude about them would be an interesting conversation. You're going to find out a lot.
The estate planning attorney that I was talking to is in the same firm that the one that Tracy was talking to. You're familiar with the Bingham firm up in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, they bought Greenbaum down here, so they're both in the same firm.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, look, the reality is once you get into this stuff, it's a very small community. And everybody kind of knows who, this guy's really good, but he's a little more expensive. This guy's less expensive, but he got some issues, you know. I mean, it was hard for me to find a good estate planning attorney that had a personality and actually wanted to meet. And so in Indianapolis, I had one. We're struggling right now, you know. Interesting. It's okay. Our state planning attorney went to Florida and took an office in Indy, and so there's an associate there that I'm going to meet with, and we just have some stuff, you know. I'm buying a, it's just stuff, right? It's a business. That you run after you have a, you know, a life and you gather some capital. So I'm buying a condominium for my brother, and who's not in the same situation I am. And, you know, how's the best way to title it? And, you know, I want him to feel like he owns it, but at the same time, I don't want him to be able to sell it and run off with it. I don't think he will, but as you get older, you realize that people don't always do what you want them to do or do what is best for them, right? So, I mean, you really kind of always need that estate planning attorney, not all the time, but you need them when you need them.
Sure.
And, they change, people leave and change attorneys and you're kind of, as a customer, they never tell you. You're kind of stuck there, and they don't contact you to tell, you know, see if there's anything you need. So you're constantly, I rely on you guys, you know, my financial advisor, to tell me what to do, you know. So it's an aggravation. Anyway, I think we can all do a better job on this stuff. anyway. And I'm a big believer now that we should be doing this for all professions. You know, all the medical professions, all the dental, all the, everything that interacts with a client, we should have an enthusiastically endorsed list. And it shouldn't matter what the disease is, we should have an answer to who gets the most enthusiastic endorsements. We're not telling the client what to do. We're just giving them another source of information because we're asking the question. And it's a nice way to be involved with our clients and to know, you know, it's bizarre to me not to know what is the health of our clients. I think we should know that intimately all the time. And we should be of help whenever we can. But we should know who's a cardiologist and what's happening with it and what procedures are they having and how's their wife's cancer and who's their oncologist and what procedures is she going through and where and all that. That's part of the 12-4-2s. And that becomes, you know, how is it going? Or can you enthusiastically endorse the hospital, the people, and the process, and your oncologist, and your surgeon, and it's research, right? And it's a great way to know what's really going on and be an authority on your clients. It's more like life coaching than it is financial advising. And I think it's important. As the financial consulting becomes more of a commodity, this becomes more and more important. But that, you know. Comments on that? What do you think?
I agree. We will make progress on that.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy it, frankly, as much as anything you will value as part of your job, because you can be a very important consultant, friend, partner in this game of life. So I think it's very rewarding work. Anyway, chapter 9, did you get a chance to watch the video and comments or questions on it?
Yes. Can you provide us with some, I guess, go over mastermind groups for us, that concept?
Yeah. Well, it's a really brilliant idea. Not that I came up with it, I didn't. Mastermind groups have been around since Thomas Edison and his mastermind group here in Fort Myers and other places. I mean, it's the idea that you get when you get two minds together, you create a third mind, and that is the mastermind. And the idea is that you cannot come up with all the good ideas that two people can come up with. One person can be smart, two people can be brilliant and creative. And when you get four or five people in a room that are all bright, are enthusiastic and committed, they can solve most anything. So that was the original mastermind idea. You can imagine Firestone and Ford and Edison and these Burroughs and these brilliant creative people all coming together at their age in that era in what they created from their mastermind group, which you can do here in your mastermind group. So let's say you wanted to create a mastermind group to help people sell their practices. That would be a niche mastermind group. You're targeting business owners that are selling their businesses, and you're putting together the greatest minds in your community to help them do that. So you would have a CPA, an attorney, a business broker, a commercial realtor, and yourself, and you get together, you know, once a month and talk about opportunities for that you know of for people that are selling their businesses, getting the listings basically and helping them get their businesses ready to sell and then selling them. And you, of course, would be the beneficiary of the $5 million or $10 million that came to the owner after the sale. So that's just one good example of mastermind groups. They can be, you know, CPA and attorney and just sit around and talk about opportunities to do business. But I think sometimes when you have a niche mastermind group, it can be very specific and everybody knows why they're there.
You have a mastermind group with other, like, financial advisors? Just to, I mean, cause the way I read part of it was to exchange ideas or discuss problems and...
Typically, yes and no. I mean,
okay.
I've got a friend of mine that has been in a niche, has been in a mastermind group with his peers, other FAs from around the country, none in competing markets, and they meet before every chairman's club meeting and every, you know, whatever circle of excellence meeting that they're having. They meet for a day ahead of time, a couple times a year, and they share business ideas. They'll have conference calls regularly and so forth. That's an industry mastermind group. I've got Bill Cates has got an industry mastermind group to help him with his business of, you know, with other speakers that are in the same business of selling, you know, ideas and giving, you know, they're professional speakers. That's one thing. That's good. That's great. That's important. The mastermind groups that we're talking about that I was just mentioning are to develop new business for everybody in the group. So a typical mastermind group is not made up of a college professor, a senator, and a doctor. It's made up of CPA attorney, estate planning attorney, a commercial realtor, as I described, you know, for a business and a business broker to sell a business. That's a particularly niche mastermind group, but any mastermind group that you create should have the ability to refer to each person in the group. A business professor wouldn't, even though he'd be smart, you wouldn't be able to refer to him. So he wouldn't get the same out of it that the CPA would get. Did that answer the question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would say develop your centers of influence first. Have your six centers of influence all lined up, operating, and then think about creating a niche mastermind group, and particularly one that might help sell businesses. I think every community should have one. There's one in Indianapolis, and I don't think you guys have one that I know of in Louisville.
They just recently had set one up.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yes.
Are you part of it?
No, there are at least two, if not three, advisors in this office that are fighting over that.
Ha ha! Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because you don't usually hear about it. I mean, it just doesn't, there aren't that, you know, unfortunately, people aren't that clever. But you've got somebody smart there that knows what they're doing. Good. But you can do one for every niche that you can imagine. You know, you could do it for a Brown Foreman. You know, you could create one, all the people that serve them. Attorney, CPA, people that sell them products and services, you know, the vendors for them. So that could be a great niche mastermind group.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other questions on the reading. On the social media, were you supposed to have one? Is that like a LinkedIn or a Facebook or?
Yeah, I recommend having both. And your public figure, you want to, I mean, I was trying to find somebody the other day. I was a new client, and I couldn't find him on social media. I mean, it was, and that's like, are you kidding? You know, talk about, you know, you should have a great marketing interface with social media. It shouldn't be that you can't find you. So both your name and your, you know, your team name should be easily found on LinkedIn and Facebook and, you know, everything, you know, it should, and they should be 100% filled out and complete and accurate and up to date. It's just kind of attention to detail. You know, it's just an attention to detail thing that says, hey, we're aware, we're a modern team, we're not an old team, we're a modern team, we know what we're doing, and we have a great profile. You know, good pictures are very important. Having an up-to-date picture of your team and sharp looking is smart. It's good marketing.
All of that, thanks to Supernova, has been updated.
Oh, awesome. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
What else? Is that it?
I think that's
covered. Yeah. Well, Tracy and I, we're meeting 30 minutes beforehand, just sort of going over everything. We talked about a lot of these things.
Well, that's really good, guys. Spend another 10 minutes after we're done, or 15 minutes, and just kind of lay out what do we need to do.
Okay.
Now and the next week, and I think you'll find great benefit in both of those meetings. Because people just jump on the call and then they just jump off and are on to something else. And I really think it's not, you know, it's kind of like me taking a golf lesson and writing down what I learned. And it just sinks it into your head rather than, you know, trying to remember it the next time you run out to the lesson.
I do have a question for you. So we have two more weekly calls after today, correct?
Right.
What, and so can you kind of brief the team, what happens once those calls, we go to monthly calls, and what becomes the, I guess, agenda then?
Yeah, we have three more. This is 9, we have 10, 11, and 12.
Oh.
So the monthly are things that we didn't get to, okay? So, for example,
okay,
we might want to take the Supernova Multiplier and read the chapter on, you know, if you're still, you know, have questions on, you haven't done a mastermind group, we may spend another, you know, read that chapter on the multiplier and let's talk about it, and that'll be the homework. Go out and start it.
More detail.
We'll drill into things that we just, you know, because, look, you've done great, but you've also had a head start on this, right? So
right,
this is the first time through. Can you imagine that you would just be, you know, drinking from a fire hose here? So you have a much better chance to do these things and make these appointments with centers of influence and begin thinking about this and getting your, you know, LinkedIn page done. But a lot of people don't. They're still doing segmentation in week 9. So they're stuck, and so we go back and have to fill in a lot more blanks. With you, we can talk about building a business plan, creating a, you know, our mission, vision, purpose statements, getting a chance to put together a elevator speech. You know, things that aren't in the in the workbook that we, you know, that you just don't get time to do, but are really important.
Okay.
Okay. Team building ideas. We got a whole book on team building ideas. There's not a shortage of ideas on what to use the time for, and it's kind of up to you guys to think, okay, I've got 9 more sessions. Now, where would we like to be at the end of those 9 sessions, and what do we want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So maybe think about some of the ideas that we've maybe come in contact with or learned about, but choose some that we may want to incorporate in much more detail.
Exactly.
Okay.
Good. That's exactly right, Tricia. So we kind of take it in the direction. It's more customized for you.
Okay.
You know, I used to have a workbook that I, you know, give to you for those 9 sessions, but it varies so much that I'd rather customize it. And, you know, some people just do case study work, like you've talked about. I have this woman, you know, she's got $4 million in CIA crap, and this is what it is. What do you think? I mean, that's great fun for me because it's easy to coach. It's hard to do, right? You're the players. You're the geniuses that have to go out and do it. I'm just the coach. I can tell you what to do. You just have to go and do it.
Okay.
That's fun for it.
Both are fun. It's really fun for me to have that kind of work. You know, I've got this case, I've got this. I mean, what we did today is so much more meaningful and fun for me than just me telling you about mastermind groups. You know, when you can say, hey, I met with a center of influence and this is what happened. I met with this client and this is what happened. I met with this, you know, I'm going to meet with this guy and what do you think? And those are really helpful for me. That's just, look, it's more fun for you. It's more fun for me, right? We're actually learning.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to continue. So these meetings that you're having before and after the call are really key to getting progress.
Yeah.
Okay.
One other thing for you. Did you read the Wall Street Journal today?
I read. What did I miss?
They compared Nashville and Memphis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I know you're you know, relatively new, but it's not any different than, you know, comparing Indianapolis to, you know, Columbus, Ohio or whatever. But they talked about how that Memphis had to go to, I think, the city government because they were, Graceland was sort of holding them hostage, saying they might move it somewhere else if the city didn't come up with some money.
Huh.
Then there was a bar chart comparing, you know, the growth in Nashville versus Memphis.
Yeah, it's a big difference. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, huh? The decisions you make, the decisions they made in Indianapolis for UniGov, and that would be an interesting story. Columbus has done well, but Indianapolis has done amazingly well.
Yeah.
Cincinnati used to be bigger than Indianapolis, and now I think Indianapolis is bigger than Cincinnati or close. And the difference in the progress that we've made over that time was just dramatic.
And and Nashville is now bigger than Memphis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question. And growing.
And 30 years ago, Louisville was bigger than Nashville.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
those are good questions to ask state government, you know, city government. What the hell happened?
Yeah.
You know,
anyway.
Is that what we wanted, or did this just happen, or did we miss the ball, you know?
Yeah. Well, it, part of it is what's the capital of the state, too. That makes a difference in, you know, Indianapolis,
yep.
Columbus. Anyway, if you don't see that article, let me know. I've got it.
No. Is it today?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll run up and grab it. Yeah, I just
can't miss a big picture of Elvis there.
Oh, sweet. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.